We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, everybody, and thanks for joining us for another episode of the PHNX Suns podcast brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook app, America's number one sportsbook app. Don't forget to hit that like button, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and leave us a five-star review. We've got a very special guest in the building with us today, none other than the man himself, Jock Landale, who is officially a part of the family. Welcome,
no,
Jock.
No longer a guest. It is now my podcast.
Oh. Love it.
So it's, it's Jock Landale, the dickhead from down under in the Dickettes. Is that what we got here?
Well said. I couldn't have said it better myself.
First of all, I'm not a dickhead. I don't give a fuck what. I don't care what Jock does in his life. No.
So I was like, I don't subscribe.
I'm not co-signing that shit.
But this is a really cool time for us here at PHNX. We hope you guys are all equally as excited as we are. Obviously, this partnership goes a little bit deeper than just a fun video that we were able to create having you on one time. Saul, you want to kind of break down how this is going to work out?
Yeah, first of all, Jock's our first professional athlete in the house, which is awesome. Absolutely love it. And the Suns pod has been, it was kind of the start of this whole thing for Espo and I. So to have somebody that comes from the Suns is pretty dope. And Jock's going to do a bunch of stuff with us. He's going to do some lightweight stuff off the side, some easy, fun stuff. In addition to joining us every couple weeks on our shows and just having a good old time. That's what this is all about.
Yeah, so he's going to start doing Lando Landing commercials. We got plenty of lots to sell.
We have a sign for him to twirl on the corner of the street and stuff. Yeah, it's going to be dope.
I definitely agree to all that.
He didn't read the fine print,
baby.
He's like, one second, I got to make a phone call. How were we able to convince you and trick you into coming back multiple times? I'm shocked.
Jeez, I don't know. I do like your guys' vibe, and I suppose seeing Espo tweet on the side a few times convinced me that the vibe was still good, even though I wasn't here. Jeez, I missed you guys for, 3-4 months or something?
Yeah.
So, it's just I've always wanted to get into podcasting a little bit, and I thought you guys were a great place to start. So here we go.
Awesome. Yeah.
When Jock showed up the first time, he was like, wasn't I in a different building before? Just a little bit of a different building.
Yeah, we upgraded slightly since then.
We've upgraded in many areas, that's for sure. Next up, we'll be upgrading in hosts, a.k.a. you'll take over for one of us. Who that is,
Wendy.
I don't know.
Espo.
All right. So, Jock, obviously, your first year here in Phoenix. How has it been so far, just from a city fan kind of relocation perspective?
Unbelievable. I mean, as far as when I first came here and spoke to you guys, I would have only been about a week into my stay here. So we've kind of branched out a lot more. We've figured out the area and the restaurants and, you know, the coffee shops and all of that a lot more. So it's top notch for us. We're absolutely loving it. We went as far as to buy a home because, we want to spend as much time as we can each year here. And you know, even in the summers where it's 40 degrees in my language, but 110 or whatever it is in yours.
It sounds better in your language.
100%. That 100 gets a bit daunting. But, we love the city. We really enjoy the fan base and the people. And, we've made a few friends here and stuff like that. So as far as last year to this year, that's been a huge upgrade for us, and we're looking to stick around for a while.
We'd love to have you stick around for a while as well.
Thank you.
I got to ask, you know, this time of year is probably a little odd for an athlete in the NBA. I mean, for us, rumors, all that great, you know, stuff to talk about. But for you in a locker room, what is it like to go through a trade deadline and kind of deal with that stuff?
Yeah, it is a serious. I wouldn't say that like right now is like that bad. You know, you see things kind of thrown out there and sometimes someone will bring something up, but typically it's not really about the guys in the locker room right now. It might be, you know, people who are at home, whatever it is. But there is a lot of talk going on around that right now and we're not, you know, oblivious to it. But I think that's the day itself, that where the trade deadline is mm-hmm. just madness. I never forget last year when it happened. We were all in Atlanta when I was with the Spurs and everyone's on edge. Like you just, nobody knows what's going to happen. There are names popping up everywhere. You know, last year I remember there was a bunch of conversations around maybe DJ or Jakob, and then Derek White gets traded. So it's like you never know what's going to happen. And you know, the club's going to do what they think's in their best interest. So we understand that it's never personal, but it's just the unknown of like, man, I could be in a different city for X amount of years or seasons, whatever it might be, starting tomorrow. So that kind of experience is really funny. And then, you know, you're not sure if the guy next to you is going to be your teammate after, you know, the next 6 hours. So you're like, what, do we talk about this? Do we not talk about it? Like it's, you know, it's just a really bizarre situation to be in. But I feel like I experienced a lot of that last year's, you know, trade deadline, cause we moved a few big pieces and then obviously the trade period this off season was nuts for me. So, I feel like I've seen it all, you know, but, yeah, it's just like it's an uncomfortable feel cause you don't know whether or not to talk about things. But I mean, I'm a pretty laid back guy and you know, it's just part of the business. So once you kind of come to terms with that, it's just, you move on.
So do coaches, you know, did Pop or does Monty, do they ever acknowledge that exists when they're talking to the team? Like, hey guys, we know what's coming up. Let's just ignore it and keep moving on. Or do they say anything about it? Or they're just like, nope, we got a game to focus on. Let's just move on.
Yeah. It's just take it day by day and focus on the task at hand. There's really nothing else to be said about it. You just, you know, it's there, it's in the back of everyone's mind, but it's just kind of something you never speak about, especially from Monty. I think Pop was in a little bit of a different situation because he's obviously the president as well. And so when the, you know, the trade period started last year, he called me and he said, hey, we're going to look to, you know, move you. And and that's kind of how that went.
Do you appreciate that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Any form of communication, I think, is so important in the long run and in the grand scheme of things, because it just, for me, it makes you feel appreciated. It makes you feel respected that like, hey, I'm about to drastically change your life. So just want to let you know that you'll probably be living somewhere else. But
just a heads up.
Yeah, just a heads up. So yeah, I appreciate the communication. And to a lesser degree, Monty's really good about that with me and Biz and kind of the lineup changes that we go through on a night-to-night basis. So just any form of communication is great when it comes from them, because they're dealing with a lot. And I know all players appreciate that. Yeah.
Did Atlanta mail you a jersey since you were technically part of the franchise for like 6 days?
What's funny is I played for Atlanta in the summer league my first year out, so I already had a Landale Atlanta jersey. So I was like, nah, I'm all good. But that was, I said to my agent, I was like, they better give me a jersey because I want to be able to hang that up one day.
But yeah.
I've already got one, so I'm covered.
Well, you brought it up just a minute ago, and away from the trade stuff, you know, from the outside looking in, you know, I've had questions about the rotation and how many minutes you're playing, and really from our perspective, the inconsistency from one game to the next, and not really knowing how many minutes you're going to play. Is that? I mean, I know it's not ideal to 1 minute play 20 minutes and then the next game play zero.
Yeah.
But how are you able to adjust from game to game and make sure that you're always focused and always ready to go? And does it, I mean, I'm not going to put you on the spot, say, does it bother you, but you know, is it a hard adjustment or is
for
it
for sure? I don't think it's, I don't think it's outlandish for me to say that it's hard and, you know, whether I wouldn't say bother's the right word, but sometimes you just get a little antsy with it. Yeah. You know, we're all super competitive individuals and super competitive athletes. And, you know, you always want to be out there putting your best foot forward with the team and being a part of those wins. And that's the hard part is when, you know, you sit on the bench for 48 minutes and don't get in and you know, the team wins or the team loses and you're like, damn, like I could have contributed in some way, whether it was to winning or to losing, I could have contributed in that and helped the team. But it's just part of the job, and there are certain schemes that the coaches put together that fit one mold of player better than the other. But I think at the end of the day, you know, there have been times where Monty has told me, hey, we're probably going to go with Biz's first big off the bench tonight, and it's just kind of an unwritten rule that you remain ready because foul trouble, injury, something along those lines changes things drastically. And I think the three times that he said it, I've ended up playing that game. So it's part of the gig, and I think that staying ready no matter what and having the confidence that you can go in no matter what, because he's not pulling into question our skill set or whether or not we can contribute. It's just that there's a better option in his mind, and whether or not we agree with that is, you know, it just doesn't matter. So you go on with your business. And I think for me, having that level of communication with him really helps me, because, you know, it kind of, like, you get real disheartened when you just don't play and there's no communication. I had that a lot with San Antonio last year, where I just wouldn't play, or they'd tell me I was playing and then I wouldn't play, or there was something that happened. And that part's hard. But when you kind of know going into the game what's going to happen, you can structure your workouts leading up to the game around that. So, for example, last night I kind of thought that Biz was going to be the first big off the bench, and that's kind of how things had been going. So post-practice, I played 3-on-3 for 40 minutes. Now, I ended up playing last night, but at least I was able to structure my day around that so I don't lose a step in the process of sitting out. And, you know, I suppose guys like Mark Bryant, who's my coach, he does a fantastic job of kind of talking me down off those emotional ledges of just like, hey, like, it's got nothing to do with you as a player. Like, I had that great 3-game stretch. We go on a little 4-game run and then I get a DMP, and it's like, damn, I could have been helping. And, you know, I feel as though I've been playing real well, but it's all right. And like, well, there's no point in sitting here crying about it, is there? Let's might as well just get on to the next thing. So I think that they're really good in helping us kind of through that process. And that's the key part of, and the best part of having, you know, guys on your staff who have been in our situation. You know, Monty was a bench player, role player for a long time, so he gets it. And so he can kind of empathize with you and help you through that, which is great.
Don't worry, we voiced it for you.
I appreciate it.
So you talked about Mark Bryant. Is he like the number one guy who's been behind the scenes kind of helping you stay ready or continue developing your game?
Yeah.
Or who else besides him has been like one of your go-tos as far as coaches or teammates?
Yeah, Michael Ruffin and Jarrett Jack are the two other guys who I work with the most. You get like little sprinkles from everyone, to be honest, but MB is the main guy, and he is an absolute character. And I told him I was going to start this today, and I was going to come on and light him up the whole time and just talk shit about him the whole time. But I'll give him a compliment. He's phenomenal. I mean, as far as personality goes and coachability and all of that stuff, he's one of the best I've ever had, and helps us through these scenarios a lot. And just the level of skill work that I've done with him this year, I feel has really helped me to grow as a player. So, yeah. Yep.
I've found this interesting. I'm reading an article in the most recent Sports Illustrated.
You don't read.
I look for the pictures. Yeah, right? The pictures and the diagrams.
The headline.
But it's talking about the evolution of the center position and how it's changed so much over the last decade. But how do you balance mastering those skills down low and also working on your game outside and making sure that you can be a balance of both?
Yeah, I mean, some guys have, and this is going to sound a little egotistical, but some guys have got the outside game and it comes naturally to them, and whereas other guys, they just can't grasp it. And I think that being able to have a mixture of both is kind of the sweet spot, because we play a team like Toronto last night and it's just hard to get a three off as a big, because the only real area you get it off is in a pick and pop and they switch everything. So then you're like, all right, well, let me get a switch and go and, you know, attack down on the block. And having that kind of combination of both is really key. But I believe that the game's swinging back to a post-up style of basketball again. Like, I think we see it time and time again that there are bigs posting up in the NBA, and, you know, Jokic, Embiid, you see guys like Julius Randle all doing a lot of their work from kind of the block and elbow areas. That it's, you know, there was obviously a stretch there, and we're still in that stretch of 3 points, three-pointers kind of winning games. But there is an argument to say that it's swinging back to an inside-out kind of game rather than outside-in. And I think that it's important for bigs to get back to being able to do that at a high clip, because we see a lot of the best players in the league being post-up players. Giannis does it. Jokic, Embiid, as I said. Kevin Durant's down there a bit. Book's a prime example. Book's got a really, really crafty and nice post game. So there is a lot of ways to score in the NBA and today, and I think they're reintroducing that level of post play. So I don't know.
Is there a guy that you kind of grew up looking at from a post play that you like to try to model your game after down there? You can lie and say Mark Bryant so he feels good.
Yeah. Hell no.
I never watched any
Bryant footage unless he sends it to me these days. I'll be sitting at home with the missus kind of watching some TV, and I'll just get this message from Mark Bryant with a clip, like a highlight package of his being like, man, you couldn't guard this shit. Like, out of nowhere. It's hilarious.
Oh, my God.
Or you'll send me and be like, no context, man. I'm too fast, too strong, too good for you to even, like, mess with me at all. So he's just, like, in my ear every day.
I'm impressed he found somebody to digitize the VHS tape.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing. You could make an argument that it's just another bloke out there, because you can hardly see the individuals on these videos.
He's sending you, like, original Shaq clips. Yeah, you can't know? Tell the
some
difference.
Some dudes at Rucker Park. He's like, yeah, that was me.
Exactly. What was your question?
Did you model your post game after anybody?
Not really. I watched a lot of Kevin Love growing up, and just I never thought that I'd grow to, 7 foot. So I thought I'd always be somewhat undersized. And so I watched a lot of his game and the simplicity of it. And emulated that a little bit, but to be honest with you, mate, I didn't watch too much NBA growing up, so I didn't really have anyone to model my game off of. I just found an ability to shoot a jump hook with both hands, and that kind of grew from there to a little bit more being able to shoot threes through the early stages of my pro career. So then I started watching a bit of Kevin Love to just see how he operated, because I knew that I wasn't as athletic as these guys, so I had to figure out other ways to be crafty. I just tried to – you'll see, my game's quite simple. I try and keep it simple and just do it at a high level. And, I didn't really ever emulate anyone else.
Well, I didn't get a chance to speak to you on the last time you were on the show, mm-hmm. but I always ask this question to everybody. When's the first moment you were like, oh, yeah, I could play not only at a high level but possibly in the NBA? Like, was it like, did you dunk on somebody or did you have like a big game or what?
Yeah. So there was probably two moments that kind of correlate with one another. The first one was I won the WCC Player of the Week off of a Gonzaga game when they were really good. I can't remember what the stats were. And then I had like a 30-point night against another good team in our conference in college. And that moment, and I was like, I hadn't been – like nobody at St. Mary's had won Player of the Week since I'd been there, and that was 2 years running. So I was like, damn, I must be doing something right. And then after my final season of that sophomore year, two of my best mates sat me down and they were like, and it's different coming from your team. I've always said that, like, when a coach kind of yells at you, you're like, all right, you're the authority figure, so I understand. But when it comes from a teammate, it's completely different. So in this scenario, they sat me down and they were like, hey, like, we believe that, like, you could play in the NBA and, like, be of that level if you really, like, looked after your body and put in the time and effort into all of, like, kind of the little nitty-gritty things. And that was the first moment I, like, bought in and I was like, okay, like, I'm going to give this thing a go. And I began to believe at that moment that there was a chance. And then the next year I had a breakout year and was a All-American 2 years in a row. So that kind of – those two moments were the first time I was like, shit, I could probably do this as a professional. And I went as far as to take that as an NBA player.
You missed playing against DA in college, but you played against Lowry Markkanen, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
In the tournament.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. So I played against Lowry. DA was the year before that.
After.
Yeah, yeah. So I played, sorry, me and DA were in the college basketball at the same time. He won the Big Man of the Year award the same year that I was a runner up. And then he was first team consensus All American. I was second team consensus All American. So,
you guys ever talk shit about that?
No, it hasn't been brought up, surprisingly. Hasn't been brought up. I might have to. Oh, actually, I don't really want to.
No.
I don't really want to. So, yeah, no, we'll just leave that one. We'll leave that one. Yeah.
All right. Quick break, a little intermission, if you will, to tell you guys about our friends over at Four Peaks who have a Suns Brew Pack as well. Suns Brew, probably the best beer to grab and sit down and watch a Suns game. Or maybe the big game, Super Bowl weekend, is just around the corner. And it's not complete unless you have Four Peaks beer as a part of your watch party or just if you're keeping it real casual or if you're looking for a place to watch the big game. Four Peaks Pub down in Tempe is also a great place to check it out. They also have two brand new beers, the Recreational Juice Dank IPA and the Staycation Super Juicy IPA. So check it out if you have not. Enjoy a nice Four Peaks beverage. But remember, you do have to be 21 years or older. And we ask that you enjoy responsibly. The best part about getting one of these Suns Brew Packs is you can even, like, make something out of that for, like, your cave, right? Your sports cave.
If you're crafty, totally jock, you can.
No, but people take, like, the little rally towels and put them in frames, and they look great. You could do the exact same thing with the Suns Brew. Or you could just get a T-shirt, like Sal said last night.
Cut this cardboard box and put it on your wall.
Why not? All right, Sal, Espo, I'm going to put you guys on the spot because I forgot to tell you this before the show started. But right now on the DraftKings Sportsbook app, for a limited time, all new and existing customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. So all you have to do is go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app today, opt in, and place a same-game parlay on any NBA game. And if it doesn't hit, you'll get a free bet back. So if you were putting a same-game parlay together for today or all week, really, right, what would you guys think is a good option?
I would take the Warriors and Timberwolves game tonight. I'd go Steph Curry going crazy.
Okay.
Ant going crazy. And Gobert not scoring more than 10 points.
Okay.
I am going to take the flag football game that is the Pro Bowl this weekend.
That's not on the DraftKings Sportsbook.
It's not?
No.
Shows how much of his homework he does.
Well, Lindsay put me on the spot.
Well,
so.
Saul was able to come through.
Yeah,
well, be better tomorrow.
As soon as she said, "I'm going to put you on the spot,"
that
she gave us
heads up.
Like a 15 second head start.
Yeah, I was like, "Let me get going there." I'm going to take. You know what? I'm going to go Suns money line tomorrow. Me to say something really stupid during this show. That would be
that one's night, definitely so. Going to hit. So that's a positive bet that you guys should definitely put your money on. If you have not downloaded the DraftKings Sportsbook app, you should absolutely do that today. But make sure you use that code PHNX because that code, when you use it, new customers can bet $5 on the NBA and get $200 in free bets. We told you guys last night about the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Obviously, we're telling you right now about the no sweat bet kind of thing that's going on over there. They have so many different promos every single day and week that you can opt in on. Like Saul hit a bet last night on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. You would have hit anyway because the Suns won, but you hit it earlier on in the game because the Suns went up by 10 points. So really cool places, really cool opportunities to make even more money on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. You just have to read, which was the disclaimer I gave last night because I didn't do that.
And as Jock said, I'm incapable of that, so
right,
I won't be
exactly.
winning anything.
So yeah, check out the DraftKings Sportsbook app for a heck of a lot of fun. All right, Jock, I want to talk about your teammates and some funny, like random weird questions, right? So we'll start it easy. Okay. Who has the best taste in music?
Damian Lee. Ooh,
I believe that. He wasn't he just talking about that after practice the other day? I feel like he sat there for like 10 minutes talking with Gerald just about music.
Yeah, me and him are the first two in the gym on game days. That's it, just how the shooting times link up. So his music is always pumping through the locker room. Pumping through the facility, and the music hits. It's great. He's got a wide variety as well. It's not just like hip hop, rap, whatever it might be. He pulls from everywhere, so definitely D-Lee.
Have you ever been invited to Chris Paul's house? And have you ever had like, and if you have, is it all vegan food or is it like, does he
cook? It's all you're out of control.
I want to know. What's it like?
I assume that it's all vegan food. Yeah, but no, I've never been to C's house. I've been to McHale's, which is a couple, which is same street. But he pointed it out at one point, but. No, I've never been.
No invite been. From the point guard.
Have you met Cliff Paul?
we do joke about that a lot.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh, I need details. Where? Yeah. Come on. Give me
the ad where he's doing the power walking?
Yes.
That is like, that's like constant in our handshakes in the hallway. Is dudes will just break it out every now and again, just start speed walking in front of him. It's all time. It is comedy.
That's awesome.
That's a hell of an ad.
What is his reaction like?
He just shakes his head and smiles. He's good about it.
Yeah, and then he goes, yeah, look at all the zeros that were on the check that gave me the power.
No, he'll start throwing in. He'll be like, man, you got to work your hips a little more. And like, really. he's good about it, man. He's good about it. It's a piss off.
He's like, fantastic. Listen, if you're going to do it, you better do it right. Okay?
Yeah, exactly.
But he's on the line, baby. Let's go.
Exactly.
Who came up with the McHale-bo thing that's going around?
I don't know if it was around longer than I was there, but the first person I heard say it was Mont. Mont said it because we have a play we call Elbow, and like any time we run it like in our walkthrough, McHale just shoots it, and he's like, "Well, I'm just gonna let this thing go." So we started calling it McHale-bo.
Okay, so now I need a follow-up question because this was the first time we learned of it was last night, right?
What, McHale-bo?
Yes, that was the first time we in
he's
the Suns' space
right
learned
now,
of it.
Oh my God, unbelievable.
These two hate it, and Gerald and I kind of love it because it's like perfect
Gerald
amount of cheese,
it.
Right? What side of the fence are you on? Do you hate McHale-bo as just like a saying, like the name? Obviously not
I just,
the actual
I just
action.
Hate all things McHale, to be honest, so. but I have to say it's very fitting with the way this guy's scoring the basketball right now. Like,
yeah.
As opposed to when I first came here, I knew that he could score, but I was definitely just like, man, this guy is just an unbelievable defender. And now seeing him do what he's done with all these injuries being, all these guys being out, it's just like the evolution of McHale has been incredible. And he's turned himself into a legit 20-point threat a night just over the course of, a month and a half. So it's great. I was just talking about it with Campaign this morning in the locker room. It's been great for him. And, I'll give him McHale-bo because he's actually scoring the basketball like a McHale-bo should. So we'll roll with it.
How about his passing, though, as a teammate?
McHale doesn't pass the ball.
That's what I said.
I know.
He had nine the other night, didn't he?
Yeah.
No, that was
15
great.
In a month.
Awesome. He actually is. I just think he's such an underrated player. His IQ is really good. He's able to, you see the way he links up with DA on kind of those. Now that the ball's going to him a lot more, you see that how much he's capable of. And I think that, that one of the best parts of his game is that now that he's drawing all this attention, he's able to kind of not just continue to settle for his pull up, but he's finding DA and he's finding the weak side. And oh man, I've been so impressed with him these past 10 games. I think he's just killing it.
Okay, where did the beef between you guys start? Obviously, it's playful beef, but like, did you start that? I feel like on media day you took a shot at Mikal. No,
I've been taking my shots at Mikal since before then. It was it's just the vibe. I don't know. I feel like he's almost got that Australian humor where you can get mm-hmm. stuck into him and he doesn't take offense to it. So it kind of started in the first week that I was there, first week or two I was there, and we just started talking shit out of nowhere. Like, it wasn't even like, hey, how you going? It was just like, mate, like, get out of my face. So just straight off the bat, we kind of had that connection, and it's rolled over since. I mean, our handshake in the line is literally we square up with one another like we're MMA fighters and pretend to fight each other. So it's just that's our vibe.
I feel like if there were two people on this team who have similar personalities, I would say it's you and Mikal for sure.
Yeah.
Like it makes sense that the two of you have that kind of relationship.
Have you considered stealing his 3-point celebration when he hit one? You get it now?
I always think to myself in a game, like, because you see like all these other dudes doing it with him, I'm like, I've got to do this to him one time, because anytime I run down the court and I kind of like turn around and see him, he's always standing there doing this to me, and I just never think to do it.
Have you thought about like pulling the bow and arrow out instead at him, or
nothing. I need to get that going, because you seen that video of him and CP kind of mm-hmm. stand, man, that is such a sick video.
Yeah.
So I got to get one with him at some point.
And if you get a tech, you make him pay for it.
100%.
There you go.
We were talking about the Triple H. Someone's got to do that. It's like, I'll do it if someone pays the $25,000. Like, nothing. God. Like, I'll just lay the ball up and stand there and do it.
If you did that shit and had water in your mouth, I would lose it.
Oh, my God. That'd be fantastic.
We'll sort of go fund me right away.
Oh, yeah. The chat will help for sure.
There we go.
Oh, my goodness.
If you're in a zombie apocalypse, because those are real things, who's the one person that you would want by your side, and who's the one person you would least want by your side?
That's a toughie. One person I would want by my side.
Who's like savage?
I'm going to go with Dario.
Oh.
I'm going to go with Dario.
What?
Yeah.
That's out of left field. Not
because he's like openly savage, but he's got that European competitiveness that I kind of went through out there, and I just know how those guys are kind of born and bred. He's tough, man. And then I was made aware of like our plus minus on the court together being, so I just feel like we have that connection, and I feel like that would be a good one.
Your plus minus,
we'd be slow, like running away from him, we'd be slow, but I feel like we'd figure it out together.
That's a good mix though, because you want somebody a little slower than you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. You don't have to beat the zombie, you just have to beat the slowest guy.
I'm gonna go with Rio, and then least want on my team, I mean, the obvious one's Mikal. I'm gonna go with Saban as well.
Okay.
Saban. I'm just gonna throw him in there because he is on par with Mikal in terms of personality. So I'll just throw him in there as well.
Nice. No wonder he was able to seamlessly just fit right in with this
it's
group.
Been unbelievable. That makes more sense. He's great. Now. He's great.
All right. What is the one song that you hate hearing in arenas?
Sing it, Gerald. Sing it. Sing it. Emma, do we have that one?
After wins?
Yeah. After every home win.
I've never noticed Gerald, that there's one song. I've never noticed that there's a song that plays after wins.
Oh, we've got our own rendition.
Win, 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 win. Curve everything else. Win, 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 win.
That's Gerald.
That's terrible. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't like that song at all.
Especially that rendition.
I have a running joke with one of the security guards that I always go back to the locker room during the national anthem because it's not my national anthem. And so I would say that, but I feel like that's a little red hot. So I'll go with win, win, win.
There you go.
I feel like there are certain songs that just get so overplayed at sporting events.
Yeah.
Like there was one a couple years ago, it was like that 10 tens, 20s, and it's 50. You know what I'm talking about?
Sing it.
You guys, he goes, you know what I'm talking about, right?
No, you got to sing it.
I don't, I can't remember it all, but it's like 10, 20s on this, and 50s. With the B word in it?
We're getting it. I'm getting the vibe.
But you know what I'm saying,
can we just
right?
get the music up and then
but
we'll...
That's the song. They literally, for 4 years, every arena I went into, that song played every single night for 4 years straight. And I think that's the one thing I would say about sports is like, we just got, let's rotate some of these songs.
Yeah, there's not much rotation that goes on. There's not much.
When I worked there, they only won like 19 games a season, so I didn't hear the win song very often. So
yeah,
wasn't that bad.
I feel you on that one, Espo. Thankfully, we've all turned around things around now. Rack City by Tyga. Thank you, Nicholas. You guys, Rack City. Yes, that song played all the time.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yes, it was. It was aggressive. Anyway. Favorite restaurant or coffee shop? You mentioned you kind of found your spots around town. Yeah. What are some of your go-tos?
I really like Carla, the restaurant. Okay. Have you been there?
I haven't.
Carla's really good. Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Carla as a restaurant. And then coffee shop, Moxie's great. Mm-hmm. Went there a lot early on, but we also vibe with Vintage Arcadia. Uh-huh. So we do a bit of Vintage Arcadia as well, which is nice.
Mm. Gotcha.
You much of a collector? Have you collected stuff during your career? Like,
I have a few collectibles. Yeah, I'll oftentimes if there's a game that's like real memorable, I'll save those shoes and I'll just put them aside, kind of ride on them or something. And then the other one would be, I have a net from the Olympics.
That's cool.
That we won the bronze medal on.
Very nice. You keep all your jerseys. I'm a big
jerseys. Got all the jerseys. Probably those. Yeah.
So it seems like Espo is chickening out on this question that he told us yesterday wanted to give you grief about.
Okay,
so.
I got to ask you about this. We saw in the photos, I believe it was when you guys were heading to San Antonio. You were wearing Birkenstocks with socks.
Nice.
Is that a vibe? Like, I'm old, so I don't know.
That's
growing up,
Aussie
I was
vibe.
Told that's a no-no.
That's a real Aussie vibe.
Is it?
It's very relaxed Australian. And the other thing is like I'm going onto a flight, and despite there being a cameraman, I'd rather be comfortable.
Yes.
That's fair.
100%.
Yeah.
I think it's a look, though. Like, I've done it, too.
It is
with
a
Birkenstocks,
look.
Like, socks and Birks, I feel like, are pretty normal.
It is a serious look. It is... but it's also, it's Australian. It's like the Australian vibe.
It's a 90s thing that's coming back.
Yeah.
Because I wore socks.
I remember even in the 90s,
in
I got crap for wearing socks with sandals.
The next time I'm on, I expect to see you in socks and sandals.
Oh, wow. Okay. You hope he wears
socks. Yeah, because he's wearing socks with thong sandals.
That.
That's why.
No.
You literally said thong sandals can be worn with socks. You asked me that yesterday.
No, I was kidding about that.
Okay,
fine. Next time I will. I'll go find a pair of Birkenstock sandals, get some socks, and I'll rock them. It's a vibe.
That
now.
Could just be like the uniform for the next show. We'll all wear Birks and socks.
Yeah.
I'm down for it. Who has the worst and the best style on the team? You're getting complimented quite a bit in the chat right now for your fit today. Just FYI.
For real?
Yeah.
It's pretty relaxed. Pretty relaxed. I can't
Lindsay
even see that
same.
Far, but best and worst style. Oof. I mean, book style is great. Mm-hmm. We all know that. That's an obvious one. I don't really want to put anyone on blast like that.
Okay,
you know?
Okay,
like,
that's fine. That's fine.
No. We've had guest upon guest on the ASU show call out teammates. We got
to
know
they're
answers.
Young and dumb.
Yeah, they're
like,
young and dumb.
Can
I suggest
this
somebody?
Is all from my personal standpoint because I'm coming at it from would I wear this?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and DA has the most chains and jewelry, and I just look at all that and I'm like, I couldn't do it. Like, I can't get down like that. So
we won't see a giant JL chain?
No.
You do have to have a certain vibe to be able to pull off something like that. I get what you're
like,
saying.
I'm sure a lot of people think that his style is great, but I'm like, I just couldn't ever do that.
Do you want to know a secret?
What?
You said Devin has the best style. He actually steals it from Lindsay. His look on the bench the last few weeks is straight Lindsey Smith vibe.
Because he wore a beanie, right?
I mean,
it was just
sure.
the beanie,
the jacket. I mean, It's straight Lindsey right, Smith collection.
And I wore my beanie the opposite way the other day. Mm-hmm.
Same Nike beanie.
Apparently, Devin and I are just really in tune.
Yeah. Somehow he knew.
The style goes.
Or he watches PhD Next Sons. He's like, oh, I'm stealing that shit.
I mean, we also did used to work together a while back. So, you know. There's.
So, did you ever wear a beanie around him?
All the time.
So did he and I, and he doesn't dress like me, Lindsey.
Well... That's a conversation for another day.
Yeah, you wear socks, yes.
All right, another quick intermission to tell you about our friends over at OGs. OGs is one of our favorite products here in the office. OGs Brands makes incredible scratch-made THC and CBD gummies. They have a brand new one that is hitting the shelves soon. It's their Happy Balance edible, and this one is a one-to-one ratio of CBD and THC. And Derek from the D-Back show told me that this is a phenomenal product from OGs just because of how balanced it is. Obviously, it's called the Happy Balance, but he was talking about how it gives you like a sense of calm. It's just kind of a relaxed, gentle vibe that this product provides. And the best part is it's in a brand new flavor, strawberries and cream, and it's hitting the shelves soon. As always, you can find OGs online at ogsbrands.com. You can find them in your local dispensary, but you must be 21 years or older to enjoy, and we ask that you enjoy responsibly. Also, our friends over at the Game Time app, one of my favorite products to use when trying to find tickets to sporting events or concerts, because it rewards procrastination, which is right up my alley. When you buy your tickets last minute, you can save up to 60% by using the Game Time app. And the best part of it too, there's no hidden fees or costs. You can literally select a button that says all in pricing, and it tells you exactly what you're going to pay at the end of checking out, which I really appreciate, because sometimes you'll go on these websites and it's like, oh, I can find a ticket for $50. And then all of a sudden it's $90.
After taxes and fees.
Like, yep. Sir and or ma'am, what is this? Please be honest and upfront from the get-go. And that's what Game Time is all about. And the best way to support us is by buying your tickets through the link in the description of this show. It's on YouTube. It's on all the podcast platforms. So check it out next time you are looking to find tickets to a sporting event or a concert.
I love that Lindsey acts like she didn't sign that max deal. Like she's sitting there going, oh, 50, 90, I don't know about this, you know.
I mean, listen, you got to pinch your pennies where you can. Sure. And the Game Time app is a great way. You get to have your cake and you get to eat it too. You get to go do something fun, but it's also cost effective.
As
it's
like tell, smart like money management. Cake and eating it.
So. Right? Exactly. Okay. All right. We're going to play a game.
Let's do it.
This game is called the PHNX Pyramid. And I'm so excited about this one. So we're going to team up, right? We've got partners. Saul and Espo are on a team. Jock, you and I are on a team. Don't let me down. Bragging rights are on the
line.
You're
going down, Landell.
We're and I desperately need to get a W. So how this game works, right? Emma created little cards for us that has categories. I'll give an example so that everyone watching and listening can understand the gist of the game. If the category is, say, for example, animals, I know the category, so I have to describe to Jock, for Jock to guess that the category is animals. So I could say cats, dogs, pigs, lions, horses, you name it, until Jock understands that the category is animals. And then once he says it, we move on to the next category. So we have a time limit. Are we putting it on a minute?
Yep, a minute.
And we have 10 categories that we can earn within that minute. So as many as you are able to earn within that minute is how many points you get for your team. We will each go once with our partner describing and guessing. You guys get to go first, Saul and Espo.
Oh, look at that.
So that we can set an example for Jock and I on how this is done.
Of how bad this can be done.
You read first, okay. I'll guess first.
All right. Emma, whenever you're ready, you let me know. 1 minute on the clock starting now. Net. Hoop.
Things on a basketball court.
Hardwood floor.
Things in a gym.
Shoes.
Things a basketball player wears. Things a basketball.
Things with basketball. Yeah, you get that. Yeah. That's right. Okay. Banana. Orange.
Things that are fruits. Things that peel.
Yes. The summer here in July. A
things
stove,
that are hot.
Yes. photos. Dumb jokes.
Espo.
280. It's not your thing. 280 characters.
Things that have a limit. Things that get exposed.
Videos.
Things that you have to upload.
A tweet.
Things that you have to type out.
No,
come on,
a picture on IG.
Things that you have to like. Things that you can like. Share. Things that you share.
You can skip it.
It was things people post on social media. Oh. You want me to say like nudes? Was that going to help?
No. How many points
comments
did you
from
get?
A game. Four.
You got four?
Comments from okay. a game. I thought those were all like,
okay, fine.
Sorry.
Do you want to describe first or do you want to guess first?
I'll let you pick.
She doesn't like making decisions, Jack.
I'll describe first.
Okay.
I'll try. Okay. You ready? Okay. Some grapes, eggplants, lavender, one of your jerseys.
Purple.
Yeah.
Things
yes.
that are purple.
Uh-huh. Vegemite, kangaroos, dingoes.
Things
you.
That are Australian.
Does that count?
From yes. Australia.
Yeah, from Australia.
Fuck
okay.
out of here with that.
Suns players, NBA players, fans, the team shop, the broadcast.
Things that are people?
Beer, food, concession stands, concourses, a basketball court.
Can buy. Skip it.
It's kind of the same one. Suns basketball, the Arizona Cardinals, hot summers.
Things that you find in Phoenix.
Yes. Caramel drizzle, chocolate drizzle, maraschino cherries. Does that work? Okay. Ham and pineapple, pepperoni, jalapenos.
Things that are meat.
Olives.
Things that you put in pizza.
Yes.
Time's up.
You got to make the buzzer sound.
She didn't get that one, did she, at the end? Are we giving him five?
That was four.
That was four. All right, four to four.
Wow.
All right, here we go.
Wow.
Lindsay's already going to get
it. Let's lock in. Let's go.
All right, I got you.
All right.
Are we ready?
Yeah.
And go. A stethoscope.
Things in the doctor's office.
Yep. 16, 8, 32.
Numbers that are divisible by 2 or 4.
Yep. Math, geometry.
School subjects.
Yes. A zebra.
Things at the
zoo. Xylophone.
Xylophone.
Yep, there you go. cars. Cars.
Things that Devin Booker likes to show off.
No. Cars. test dummies.
Things that crash.
Yes. Jesus. I love my daughter.
Things I say.
a lion, a tiger, a bear.
Oh my.
A polar bear.
Things at the zoo.
Yes. Jesus. Fruit, a basketball.
Things that are round.
Things that
go around.
The sun. Damn it.
How many was that?
Things that are orange. That was 7.
You guys got 7?
Gee whiz.
Damn.
Goddamn right,
son. Gee whiz.
Oh, good
Lord. So that's 11.
The pressure's on. Now I feel. I should have let you go first, Jock, as the describing, because I feel like the pressure's on me here.
I feel as though it's harder to describe.
Well, I like
That's
describing.
That's true. This, I don't you know. This is tough, though. All right, we got to get at least 7.
I need some time to think.
Okay, well, you can go in whatever order
yeah,
you want.
Oh, yeah. Okay, beautiful.
Yeah, you can
all
go
right.
in whatever order
Let's roll. You ready?
Sure.
Chair. Couch.
Furniture. Things that you would see in a house. Things that you would have
bench.
In a living room. Things that you would buy from
car
furniture?
Seat.
What?
Think. Come on.
A chair, couch, things you sit on.
Yes.
Sorry.
Lettuce, tomato.
Vegetables. Things you put on a salad. Things
meat,
that are vegan.
Mayonnaise.
Things you make a sandwich out of.
Yep. All right. Roses.
Flowers. Things you put in a bouquet. Things you would gift
to
somebody.
I'm gonna miss that one. Swim, boat.
Things you do on the water. Things you do in the summertime.
Yep. Oh, geez. Goo goo gaga.
Things a baby would say.
Yes. Rottweiler.
Dog.
Labrador. Yep. Nike, Adidas.
Shoes. Yep. Brands.
Devin, Mikhail, Cam
NBA
Johnson.
Players. CBS.
Wait,
I did get it.
NBA players counts.
Oh, so now we what are we? Let's what go. Are we doing?
Are we
now?
Tied?
We're tied.
Nice job. Damn. Oh my
Nailed
god.
It.
Buzzer.
Nailed so it. Damn, there was one that said things that smell good.
Yeah.
Oh, perfume, cologne.
Ah, bugger, that would have been yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Wow.
So what do we do here?
I don't know.
Emma, what do we do?
She didn't prepare for a tiebreaker.
How do we
guarantee
do a tiebreaker of this game? I didn't think it would end like this. Rock, paper, scissors.
Jock and
is your mic on?
I'm trying to think of something that you and I would do.
Things that will end really badly for me.
So, since you guys are a team, both of you guys, rock, paper, scissors, whoever wins, rock, paper, scissors, the winner of the other team. That's the winner. That's what we're going to do.
That's what we're going to do.
Okay, so you guys go first. Saul, Espo, you guys do rock, paper, ready? Scissors.
This is going to be great for
hold on.
Audio.
Is it rock, paper, scissors, shoot?
Yeah.
We're going to do that. I'll say it as you go. It's for the audio listeners.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Do the play-by-play, Lindsay. Let's go.
Saul has thrown out a scissor.
Yeah, I'm going to channel my inner
Boy. Ready, here we go.
Ready, set, rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Saul has thrown out a scissor, and he has lost to Espo with a rock.
You dug your own grave.
I don't give a shit as long as one of us beats
them.
I don't
care.
All right, now one of you do the play-by-play. Ready?
All right, here we go. All right, rock. Paper, scissors, shoot, and Jock threw out a paper, and he loses.
Jock can't even hold up your end of the bargain here. I got to take on Lindsay.
Lindsay versus Espo. Here we go. All right, rock, paper, scissors, shoot, and it is rock. Wait.
Well, that's Saul being a terrible play-by-play narrator.
How?
You're like, okay, and rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Like,
okay.
Bro,
right, ready, ready,
fault,
ready, and here we go. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Let's go!
God.
Fucking Espo lost!
Suck
we didn't lose to Jock.
Suck it, mate.
Wow, way to end the show on a W, man.
How does that feel, man? Knowing that you let your team down.
Have you looked at me? I'm used to losing, Jock. Kind of my brand.
What a bit of a sub story there, mate.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Jock, thank you so much for coming by. We had a blast today, especially me, obviously. I got a W in this show, and it's always a great day when I can beat Saul and Espo in literally anything.
Literally,
easy work.
Anytime.
Easy
wins.
Work. Easy work.
And then the last thing I have for you guys before we officially say goodbye is Bad Birdie. Bad Birdie has fantastic brands. The designs, the brands, the hats, the polos,
today,
the quarter zips.
Today, of all days, I completely demolished Eddie Johnson on the golf course.
Are you
today
sure?
Wearing my Bad Birdie merch. I took money out of his pocket. I avenged my loss from last year. He is bitter about it. So, but you don't have to be bitter when you go to Bad Birdie. You can save yourself a lot of money, especially 15% just by using promo code PHNX_sports15 by going to badbirdiegolf.com and look stylish. They got 6 new polos that just dropped. They got 3 new quarter zips. It's all a fantastic brand. Check it out. Go to their site. You won't regret it.
All right. Actually, I
and
lied.
Suck it, Eddie.
I'm just going to ask you like 4 questions from the chat.
Yep.
You don't have to do anything crazy, but there's a couple questions from the chat. And I did tell them that I would ask you. So
let's
that was my bad for forgetting. So Chris wants to know if you think you and us as the PHNX crew would beat CHGO and IO in Chicago.
Basketball.
Yeah, at basketball. Like if we played pickup, who do you think would win?
Us.
Yeah, 100%.
No question.
I mean, that's an easy one.
As long as Espo's coming off the bench.
Yeah. You drag my ass to victory, that's for sure.
No, mate, that was just a prime one for me to get stuck into you there.
The screens, though. The screens, though.
We got that covered with me.
I'm built like a brick house, all right, man?
You left out a key word there. Brick shit house.
This is true.
Is the correct
I am
phrase.
Full of it. So.
Jasper wants to know if you've watched the show Psych.
Psych? Mm-hmm. No, never.
Me neither. I don't think I've ever even heard of it.
It's good.
It's very witty.
Okay. What's it? What's it?
About a guy who pretends to be a fake psychic to help a detective or a police officer solve crimes.
Yeah, right. No, I never watched it. I'll have to check it out.
T Bounty wants to know what you think is the funniest sounding word that Americans say with our accents.
You say jaguar.
How do you say it?
Jaguar.
Ooh,
it sounds. Jaguar.
I mean, it sounds way more.
Well, that's how you would phonetically sound it out, right?
What
jaguar?
Yeah,
yeah,
jaguar.
That makes
and
more
then,
sense.
I mean, oh, there was another one. There was aluminum? Another one I heard the other way. What'd you say?
Aluminum? Don't you say aluminium?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I, when I heard that, I was like, what is that?
That's weird. I hadn't. I
You've never heard somebody say that one? Yeah, ours is aluminum.
That's that fancy shit, that aluminium.
Real fancy. And then gas and petrol is the one that always used to get me.
Yeah, that gets me. Because when I go home, I now say gas and I get lit up by my mates. So bad. It is so bad. There's like parts of the lingo that's kind of crept its way in. And it's not good. Like, it just makes, like, I'm ripe for the picking when I go home for the boys. It's bad.
John wants to know when you're heading back to Australia. They need their jersey signed.
I'll definitely be back kind of mid-July, actually. Mid-July through until, all the way through until September, because we've got our World Cup preparations in Australia all through August, so. Hoping to go back and do like a little camp for kids out in the country near where the farm is and just have some beers with the fellas, to be honest. So that'll be pretty good.
My 6-year-old daughter wanted me to ask you this, so forgive me, but have you ever seen or held a koala? Have you ever interacted
with
a koala?
Yeah.
She's obsessed with them.
So. All the time. They're in all the zoos and you can go up to them, hold them and stuff. And one of my mates has them on his farm. Like a lot of their eucalyptus trees, koalas were coming around there. So, yeah, I've seen plenty.
Are you usually happy when you're on the farm?
Very.
Wow.
So don't tell Monty that. Yeah.
No.
That's what Monty says.
What?
Monty says, don't get happy on the farm.
That was his saying. Oh,
that does say that, doesn't he?
Okay, yeah. That was a Gerald joke. I'm sorry.
That was bad.
And with that, I think we should say goodbye because it'll only get worse from here. Jock, thank you once again. We appreciate you coming on the show. Thank you for joining us in the chat today and for listening. On your way out, if you're here on YouTube, make sure you hit that like button. If you're listening to us on a podcast platform, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe because it helps us out a lot.
Also, check out our other social media channels because this guy will be all over them as well. TikTok, Instagram, you name it. You can find some more, all the Jock content you want. We're going to have it all there.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will see you guys tomorrow. We'll have a pregame and a postgame show for you. And until then, Espo, go ahead and take us home.
Just because I'm 5'9 and in the worst shape of my life doesn't mean I couldn't score a bucket on Jock. Ahoy, hoy. Phoenix Metro, Megas in control, and he ain't never going to let go. PHNX, though, Lindsey Gerald Espo. Saw him pass the ball, we here to turn up the tempo. Got to understand me, y'all always wreck the family. Rally in the...